Welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, nature, sustainability, interconnectedness, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sitarani Palomar.
The holidays are upon us, and with it, weeks spent in the kitchen to cut, dice, toss, broil, and bake. Our show today is the antidote of living in your kitchen, which is not a bad thing, but you get to do that in a couple of weeks anyway. So today we are talking about easy organic meals. Healthy, quick, simple. And that's really the word today. Simple. Easy organic meals, a new spin on fast food today on An Organic Conversation.
Yeah, yesterday I went shopping and I bought a whole cartload of food for the week for the house. And I had these designs on baking squash and making homemade beet hummus and and making this beautiful salad. And I got home after shopping and I didn't feel like doing any of it.
You know where this was heading.
And yet, you know, I'm not unfamiliar to the kitchen. It's just that any little tips that I could have that could help me take that inspiration just to the next place so that I feel like doing it when I get home from shopping would certainly be helpful.
They make all the difference. Uh-huh. I know those are the cooking classes that I do that tend to have the most success are when people come because they want to know how to do things quickly. And from my culinary education, the thing I value most, it isn't how to make a gorgeous restaurant quality meal that took me 20 hours to prepare. It's the one that takes me 20 minutes to prepare that is the exact same quality. Mm-hmm. So those kinds of things that you can pass on to consumer, whether it's the kind of knife you have or how to cook a grain properly or just what are some really easy pairings. That's what we're going to break open today.
Yeah, I usually stay on the positive side of life, but what I really don't like are cooking shows where 20 minutes into the cooking show, the chef tells you, oh, yes, and then we need this ingredient, which had to be prepared 4 days ago. Like, who has time for that? Like, tell me up front that this was a week of endeavor to make this one meal. So yeah, life doesn't really work with that. And nobody has $20,000 worth of equipment in the kitchen. Not many of us anyway. So this will be interesting. Easy organic meals, a new spin on fast food.
But first, here's the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. Australia plants world's largest pallet garden. The city of Sydney recently debuted an outdoor art installation made from hundreds of recycled plastic shipping crates. The temporary project, known as the Great Crate, is a giant vertical edible garden created with help from the community. Seed starters and planters were made from upcycled containers and bottles, and community members gave garden greens and beans to the project. After the month-long display, the Great Crate will be dismantled, giving the plants back to the community and reusing the crates. Schools celebrate Walk to School Day. Thousands of students across the United States walked and biked to school on October 3rd to celebrate International Walk to School Day. The event, part of an international effort to encourage healthy lifestyles, both for students and parents, is in its 15th year and has more than 3,000 participating schools. Lauren Marchetti, the director for the National Center for Safe Routes to School, said Walk to School Day continues to inspire community-grown events that celebrate health, safety, and a sense of community. The 2013 Walk to School Day will be held on October 9th. Mark your calendars. Costa Rica to ban sport hunting. The Costa Rica Congress approved reforms to its wildlife conservation law late last month, including a future ban on hunting as a sport. Costa Rica is the first nation in the Americas to ban sport hunting, aiming to preserve the country's biodiversity, such as jaguars, pumas, and sea turtles. Lawmakers hope the ban will not only save the animals, but also the country's economy, as biodiversity is a major draw for tourists, accounting for 5% of the nation's GDP, or roughly $2.1 billion annually. And Chipotle signs deal to pay tomato pickers more. Chipotle Mexican Grill announced earlier this month that they've signed an agreement with the Coalition of Emocali Workers, or CIW, to improve working conditions for tomato pickers by joining the CIW's Fair Food Program. The agreement makes Chipotle the 11th major corporation to join the program and comes after 6 years of invitations from the coalition. Under the agreement, Chipotle commits to paying a penny more per pound, which significantly increases the picker's take-home pay. The standards also include healthy working conditions, such as shade tents and ice water in the fields, all monitored by the Fair Food Standard Council. And those are the green headlines. Back to you, Helga.
Thank you, Jen. That's Jen Lloyd, our news anchor, for that weekly update of what's going on in the world of green living and sustainability. Schools celebrate Walk to School Day. I walked every single day of my childhood to school. If I had asked my parents to drive me, they would have been like, what do you want us to do? But I actually do want to talk about Chipotle. Chipotle signs deal to pay tomato pickers more, and we're talking a penny a pound, Mark.
One penny. It's going to be $2 instead of $1.99 a pound, right? And the effect that it has on the workers can have a huge effect. Healthcare, just even
education.
Education, just even having standards, having a shade tent in the field, some water out in the field, bathrooms. I mean, all these things that we take for granted or that in our minds we say think that are just part of the regular deal. One penny is the difference of someone being able to send their kid to school, somewhere in the future.
Yes.
Or even right now. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, some of these companies wouldn't necessarily be companies that I would always support. Chipotle happens to be one that I do support on the road. But McDonald's, Burger King, Subway, Whole Foods, Aramark, a lot of these people, Trader Joe's, have all signed on and been doing this and paying this group of workers a penny more a pound. You know, for the last several years.
Yeah, the chains that come on, the leverage is just
incredible.
I know,
I'm always really encouraged when I see these kinds of big companies and corporations making this kind of a commitment, because one penny, it doesn't sound like much, but with the quantity that they purchase, it makes such a big difference. And yeah, actually recently in the news, there has been a lot of these same companies have signed on to ban gestation crates for their pig products. They'll make sure that their suppliers are phasing them out in the next several years. So again, you know, that commitment makes a huge difference to our life cycle, our economy, our ecology.
Animal welfare,
yeah.
Worker welfare. Yes, wonderful. Thanks again, Jen, for that update. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And today we're bringing you the world of simple, easy, healthy, organic meals that take neither much effort, much money, or much time. Easy Organic Meals, a new spin on fast food, only here on An Organic Conversation today. But before we dive into this topic, we wanted to give you an update on Prop 37, the California Right to Know GMO labeling campaign. 1 week to go and a couple more days, and this state initiative might just have the power to change the way we are informed about our food throughout the country. Yes on Prop 37, an update with the media director of the California Right to Know campaign, Stacey Malkin, who has been a guest twice here on An Organic Conversation in recent months leading up to this historic date coming up very quickly. Stacey, are you with us?
Hello. Thanks so much for having me today.
Yes.
Hi, Stacey. Welcome back.
Thanks for making the time. We can only assume that these days have 36 hours in them. And you are working every single minute as we only have, you know, a week and a half or so to go. How is the campaign progressing so far?
It is a crazy situation out here in California. As you know, Prop 37, it's a simple label for genetically engineered foods like more than 60 other countries already have. It has had huge support all through the summer. Up until recently, we are seeing a drop in support because there is a huge, unbelievably cynical and deceptive ad campaign that's been unleashed on California by the opposition, which is funded by the world's largest pesticide companies that are spending $1 million a day, every single day, flooding the airwaves, trying to confuse California voters. So that has had some impact, but we are working so hard to get the truth out to people that this is a simple, straightforward labeling law that gives us the right to know what's in our food, a right that 90% of people across the country have said they want, have said that we deserve, because we're the ones buying and eating our food. We should be the ones that have a right to decide what's in it.
And you're right, it's the U.S. is one of the last countries in the Western democratic world, the entire European Union, India, China. It has not changed the world of food or the prices or anything that is mentioned in the ad campaigns that you're now working against. of what is supposed to happen has happened in those countries. Again, the U.S. being one of the last countries that doesn't have labeling.
Yeah, Stacey, what are the critical points for voters that we're seeing in these advertisements from the opposition?
Well, the opposition is all about one central thing, trying to confuse people, trying to make people think it's so confusing. And so they've had an incredible amount of success with a particular ad that talks about the exemptions in Prop 37. And Prop 37 does have some exemptions for very common sense, straightforward reasons. It wouldn't have made sense not to have them. It doesn't try to label foods that don't have ingredient labels, for example, like restaurant food or alcohol, because we didn't think it made sense for businesses to have to try to track every ingredient in every meal and then label it. Prop 37 was intended to go after the vast majority of genetically engineered foods that all of us are eating, and that's the food on supermarket shelves, food that already has a label, asking businesses to just add a few words to that label, which absolutely will not raise costs. As you said, Helga, all around the world, nobody saw any increased cost from GMO labeling, and we won't see increased costs here. So when people hear those stories, when they see the truth, and you can go to our website and find out the facts at carighttoknow.org, and I really encourage people who care about this issue to go to our website, to sign up, to forward the information to your friends, to call your friends in California, to tell them this is a truly historic opportunity to bring fairness back to our food system with a chance we may not get again. This is such a high-stakes fight, and we do have a huge grassroots movement of people here across California working to get the facts out and set the record straight, but we haven't been able to compete on TV, and unfortunately that's where a lot of people are getting
sure.
their information.
And Mark, you had a comment, just especially around TV.
Well, yeah, I've been watching the baseball playoffs, Stacey, and that's where you know the several 37 ads have been on, you know, every 20 minutes or something like that, showing farmers and saying how it's going to hurt them and how all these lawsuits are going to, you know, happen. And I remember hearing a lot of these same tactics being used during the country of origin labeling arguments and things like that. But I go to your site and I look at your site and I read the actual bill and none of that's true.
Right, right. Well, you don't have to tell the truth on TV ads, but a lot of people don't realize that, and they're swayed by these ads even if they don't think they are. So it's incredible. But the truth is Prop 37 is simple, it's straightforward, it's easy for businesses to follow, it won't raise costs, it's a simple label. And it's because we have the right to know what's in our food.
Well, we are all behind it, of course, and getting the word out. We want to hear one more update next week when we're just days before the election, if there's anything else we can do from our end. But yeah, to all of our listeners, please help spread the word. That's carighttoknow.org for more information. Stacey, keep fighting the good fight.
We will never stop fighting.
Yes, good. Or celebrating for what we should have, as, again, 60 other countries around the world have. A great piece from Michael Pollan just a couple of weeks back on this initiative, and for him to say this is a no-brainer to be the, you know, one of the last countries to finally sign on to this. Sad enough, it's a decision of democracy and our right to know in general what's in our food.
And that piece was in the New York Times, right? If our listeners
yes.
wanted to read it.
Yeah.
And one last thing, Stacey, you know, the interesting thing is I always try to follow, as a voter, I always try to follow issues and look to see, okay, I'm behind this, but what would be the things that I wouldn't want to support or that type of thing? And I'm looking at all the editorials, and if you read the editorials in most of the papers, it's as if they took did a copy and paste right out of the opposition's website and just stuck it in as the reason that they're saying yes or no on this issue. And I just can't even believe that people are not even looking at the facts on this issue.
It's incredible that the editorial board did not fact check. They were riddled with errors. Yeah, it's a very disturbing situation if you believe in the institutions of democracy and media. But I also believe in the institution of the grassroots people's movement, and that's our chance to win this, and that's the only thing that will win this. And so I please urge everyone to be on the phone with everyone you know in California and tell them to get active and organized and
yes.
tell the truth.
And we have millions of listeners throughout the country, you know, 20,000 people on Facebook. facebook.com/an organic conversation with updates on the California Right to Know campaign. So go to our Facebook page or carighttoknow.org. That's the media director of the California Right to Know campaign, Stacey Malcolm. Yes, on 37. Thank you, Stacey, for all your work.
Thanks to you all.
And good luck.
Thanks,
yes,
Stacey.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And we are talking in today's show about keeping it simple. Easy organic meals, our topic today. A new spin on fast food. That and more when we come back. Stay tuned.
Was it you who spoke the words that things would happen but not to me? All things are gonna happen naturally. Oh, taking your advice, and I'm looking on the bright side and balancing the whole thing. Oh, but it oftentimes those words get tangled up in lines, and the bright light turns to night. Oh, until the dawn it brings another day to sing about the magic that was you and me. Cause you and I both loved what you and I spoke of, and others just
realized. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Our topic today is easy organic meals, a new spin on fast food. Yes, we love food, and every week we give the world of food and food production the attention it deserves. As most, if not all, challenges we face in this democracy can be brought back to how we as a nation eat. From climate change to obesity to healthy waterways, healthy soil, and healthy communities, we love to talk about food, eat food, and cook the perfect meal with fully sustainable, locally grown ingredients. And yet, in this fast-paced world, it is difficult sometimes to make the time to create the space to allow for a slow food lifestyle. So how can we maintain our health, our ideals, our ethics, and our commitment to organic food and sometimes still be on the run? This show is not just for students or busy moms, but for anyone who appreciates a few ideas on easy organic meals, a new spin on fast food, our topic today on An Organic Conversation. And we're delighted to have with us now, calling in from Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, Susie Middleton, the expert on fast, fresh, and green meals. Susie, are you with us?
I am. I'm glad to be here.
Hi, Susie. Welcome.
Thanks for joining us today on the show. You are a chef, recipe developer, and food writer. You're the author of two amazing books, Fast, Fresh, and Green, your previous book, and your new book that just came out, The Fresh and Green Table. Why your focus on light, fresh, healthy? When did that find your passion, and why have you made that your focus?
Well, I'm kind of a vegetable nut. I also grow vegetables. We have a little farm stand. So, you know, they just have always called to me. Growing up, we ate a lot of fresh food in the summers, you know, homegrown tomatoes and fresh corn, and I always loved them. But it wasn't until, you know, many years later that I started cooking that I found that my creative juices really started to flow when I cook with vegetables. I just find them to be ultimately so satisfying to cook with.
Yes. Yeah, because they're flavorful and they're nutrient dense, and they've got lots of great water in them to just really satiate. I'm totally with you, and you're speaking with three other vegetable nuts. So
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, I was just looking at the
word.
Website. I figured you guys are serious vegetables.
Vegetable nut. I didn't know that word existed, but
it exists now.
So
Susie, Helga had mentioned your new book just came out, The Fresh and Green Table, which, like you said, is focusing on that creative and delicious approach to getting more vegetables in people's meals. And your previous book was really focusing on the fast side of it, fast, fresh, and green.
Right, it is a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, yes, in every possibly wonderful way. So, but my question for you is, how do you take the struggle and stress out of cooking and putting nutritious meals on the table quickly?
Well, I think about that a lot. And for me, it's starting with really good ingredients, starting at the store or the market, picking out really fresh food that doesn't need a lot. And then, you know, especially in my first book, Fast, Fresh, and Green, I detailed 9 different easy techniques for weeknight vegetable cooking. And I think just learning 1 or 2 of those all of a sudden opens up your repertoire. And the results are so delicious that I think that in itself is incentive to get back in the kitchen, and also getting the kids involved. I think techniques like roasting and quick sautéing and grilling really bring the sweetness out in vegetables, and everybody loves them, and they're really not hard. So if you try a few recipes and kind of get those working for you, it's a great incentive.
It also is a great incentive as the cook when you see people eat what you're making, because we as Americans still aren't eating the amount of fresh fruits and vegetables that we're supposed to be consuming every day, according to the latest reports. Yeah. So any way we can get our families to eat more fresh vegetables, the better.
Yeah, I've gotten such a huge response to Fast, Fresh, and Green because people were really tired of steaming vegetables and wanted more ideas. Okay. All right, I'm preaching to the choir here.
No.
And a few neat ingredients to keep on hand and a few good, I'm really technique-based. I was editor of Fine Cooking Magazine for many years, so I benefited from learning to different ways to cook, and I think it's really empowering.
Yeah, and it's actually, Mark, you are hitting a total chord there. If we look at the topics of this show, totally not by choice, but by wanting to be a stage for the current topic of the day. We had Engine 2 Diet on, we had, I would say, 8 to 10 shows in the last 6 months, easy. Just focusing on vegetables.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Forks over knives.
Yeah,
another
forks over
one.
Knives.
We did
from health to flavor to fascinating.
Well, and Susie, I have to say the reason I was chuckling so much is because my daughters, now that they're in their 20s, used to say, "I hated steamed cauliflower. I hated steamed broccoli." And at the time when they were very young, I thought, okay, the way I can get them the most nutrients is by steaming it, because that's what I had read at that point.
Oh, no.
And they were like, they used to pass notes to each other. It's like, oh, my goodness, it's broccoli again.
Steamed,
you know, and it's been steamed.
With all
don't feed us this. And so
for too long, steamed, great.
Yeah.
Mark, you said that one of the ways that you got your kids to eat vegetables was by steaming. You know, I have a bit of a raw food background. And so exactly. I worked at some raw food restaurants, and that's where I come from when I'm looking for what's the fast way to get more vegetables, and that's healthy, and that's in marinating it and massaging it. And, you know, dehydrating is one of the more time-consuming ones, which I think is what turns people off. But there are so many, like you said, technique-based things that don't take a lot of time when you start with a really great ingredient that allow you to enjoy more vegetables.
And they're really like aha moments, too. When you succeed in doing that, you feel good about yourself, you know? So
yes.
I think that's part of the trick. And it's neat with my second book, The Fresh and Green Table, I scooched vegetables to the center of the plate and tried to figure out ways to get them into main dishes that everybody's kind of used to eating, like pastas and soups and stews and tarts and pizzas, so that I'm not a vegetarian. I eat a lot of vegetables, obviously, but so I sort of wanted to kind of welcome everybody into eating more vegetables in a little bit bigger way than just being on the side of the dish.
So yes.
It's been kind of fun to see how that works.
And we will keep scooching. We will actually scooch them in the middle of the airwaves. That's Susie Middleton, author of Fast, Fresh, and Green, and the new book, The Fresh and Green Table. She's a chef, recipe developer, and great food writer. Susie, stay with us. We want to hear what the most common errors that people make are in the kitchen, and what are some really great, simple tips in general and on technique and on ingredients, as well as some recipes you can share with us. So stay tuned. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be right back with more.
Earl's Organic Produce is the only 100% organic wholesaler in the San Francisco produce market. We are proud to offer a unique limited edition organic heirloom salsa made with the most flavorful heirloom tomatoes and offered only during the prime time of the heirloom season. Our tomatoes are sourced exclusively from Tutti Frutti Farms in Lompoc, California. Look for it now at local retailers in the San Francisco Bay Area. Follow us on Facebook, Earl's Organic.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Do you have a passion for healing through healthful organic food? Become an expert in nutrition, the prevention of illness, and the promotion of optimal health. The Bowman College Distance Learning Program is a convenient, self-paced program that prepares you for a successful career as a nutrition consultant in your own home, on your own time, in a way that's organic to you. Start on your path to holistic health today with the Bowman College Distance Learning Program. Find out more at bowmancollege.org. That's BAUMANcollege.org.
At Testa Epicures Guild, we provide tea and coffee from the regions of the world known to produce the finest of their kind. Always certified organic and fair trade, we stand for exceptional taste and highest quality. Every cup of our tea and coffee is connected to the soil and the people working the land. We have searched the world for the best ingredients and invite you to enjoy Testa tea and coffee. Find Desta at your natural food store or online at desta.com. That is DESTA.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Our topic today is easy organic meals, a new spin on fast food. And with us is author, recipe developer, and food writer of two amazing books, Susie Middleton, who wrote Fast, Fresh, and Green, and her new book, The Fresh and Green Table, joining us today from Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts.
And Vegetable Nut. hey, Susie, what are some of the most common errors that people make when they're, you know, that slow them down in the kitchen, that slow them down shopping, that slow them down even to find their comfort place in the kitchen?
Well, as a cook, I'd have to say the number one thing is not reading a recipe all the way through.
Oh, so true.
I had a good friend who was trying to make my quick roasted tomatoes, and she wound up making a slow tomato gratin because she hadn't read the head note or the whole recipe. So I really, that's a great thing. Read your recipes, plan your meals if you can, make lists before going to the store. You know, choose carefully. Lots of vegetables will keep well. If you can do your shopping on a Sunday, come home and wash all your greens, your lettuces, put them in zip-top bags, and then you're good to go. You can have a really nice salad. I'm sort of not so big on the bagged lettuces these days because I think they tend to go bad quickly. And they're a great convenience, but they're not the freshest, and you can make a really tastier salad by doing it yourself, but it does require washing lettuce. So I say, get it, do it ahead, and store it so it's ready to go.
Yeah, and getting one of those salad spinners, too, that'll really save you some time.
And it you bring up a great point. I love being inspired by what I see in the produce aisle, and yet I sometimes feel like, you know, when you're in the video store, that's like before most of people's times, but do you remember being in the video store and there are like 50,000 titles and you have no idea why you came or what's good
an
and
hour.
You spent, yeah, at least, exactly. So having that list of some of the must get ingredients that open up that world of possibility and then still being inspired by what looks good, I think that's a really great mix. But going with a list, as simple as that sound, is such a big...
Especially at farmers markets, I tell people really, do go and buy what... Don't get tied down by what your list says. If there aren't any peas there, buy the beans that are really fresh that were just picked. And that's where the learning a few techniques comes in handy in keeping a good pantry, because then you can substitute out, you know, what is freshest.
Well,
and
that,
basically good, do the same thing
great,
with it.
Great point.
That
yes,
brings
pantry.
Up, yeah, the next question for sure, because that makes all the difference. If you have a well-stocked pantry and you have, you know, the fresh ingredients that you picked up at the farmer's market or the grocery store, you can make just about anything. But I don't think a lot of people know what constitutes a well-stocked pantry. So if we were to come to your house right now and go through your cupboards and your refrigerators, what do you always have on hand that makes cooking so easy?
Well, this is a favorite topic of mine. In fact, when I do book signings, I bring my 10 favorite pantry ingredients with me.
Oh, yeah, great.
Because they're really the foundation of making tasty vegetable dishes. I love aromatics, which are all the onions, shallots, onions, scallions, but that also includes ginger and garlic. Starting out any vegetable dish with a little of one of those is going to perfume your whole dish. I love a little bit of acid, and that includes citrus, like lemons and limes. So I always have lemons and limes in my refrigerator. I have one or two good vinegars that I like. I have one or two really good cheeses in the refrigerator, always some good Parmesan cheese. I keep hearty, fresh herbs like rosemary and thyme around. And, you know, then those are sort of my base and a good olive oil. And a few condiments from the Asian world, you know, some soy sauce, some fish sauce, a few little things like that. And I can make dozens and dozens of different vegetable dishes every night.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved your thing about making sure you have aromatics on hand, like onions. And I think that something people will get slowed down about is how to cut an onion, because they think of all the layers and they're falling apart and I can't keep track of all of it. And that just takes too much time.
Goggles, right?
Well, you know, some people hold a sharp knife is the thing. And that's the number one thing that I tell people. If they want to cook faster, the best investment that you can do and make is to get a chef's knife, a good chef's knife. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people try to cut things with a paring knife, which is only 2 inches, you know, 2 or 3 inches long. You're going to
totally
make,
you
know, triple
that.
The amount of work it takes you, triple the amount of time it takes you. So invest in a good chef's knife, take a, you know, a 1 hour knife class, and you will make up that time in spades in the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah.
The cooking classes are fun. Get the family involved and go and get everybody.
Oh, fun.
Another thing about getting everybody in the kitchen is get kids involved, but a little just a couple basic classes is all it takes.
Great. Yes, that's Susie Middleton, chef, recipe developer, and food writer, who wrote Fast, Fresh, and Green to help people eat more vegetables in a quick and easy way, and her new book, brand new, The Fresh and Green Table. Susie, stay with us. We actually will look at the world of ingredients. It's time for our weekly update of what's going on in the world of produce and sustainable agriculture with our very own expert on the topic, Mark Mulcahy. What's in season, Mark?
Today is a conversation that Earl and I have all the time I wanted to share with our listeners, is the topic of what is going on in the marketplace that affects their everyday shopping purchases. Mm, and during the time in between seasons is usually when you see some of these dynamics. And so, as always, on the line with us is Earl Herrick from Earl's Organic Produce in San Francisco, the voice of the San Francisco market. Earl.
Hey, Earl.
How you doing today?
Hi, Earl. How's it going?
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's going great. As you referred to, Mark, you know, we talk about these things that are going on. They're almost kind of like behind the scenes. It almost fits perfect into the political atmosphere that we have right now. And what goes behind the scenes is there's a huge semi-tragedy, I think. It depends where you are. In the East Coast, Michigan lost about 90% of its apple crop this year. And New York in that area lost about 50%. And so that local region is going to be very hard-pressed to find apples if you go into to your farmers' markets. Now, at the same time, Washington State, the great Northwest that produces 60% of the crop, the number one producer, is having a great year. Some people say it's a bumper crop. It's definitely better than last year. So now, how does this play out with these local things? And that's really hard to tell right now. But as the season continues, it's going to take shape. But what we're seeing right now is we saw some early price high prices. I think some of that was people's reaction to, wow, there's this loss of production, so make money while you can. But I'm pretty sure the way it's going to play out as the season goes on, prices are going to stabilize. You're going to see some fairly normal pricing. You might see some higher prices because in the bigger sizes, because that's what's available. And bigger sizes always get more money.
Well, and Earl, you know, as I've been traveling around the country, I've been seeing pretty steady $2.99 for apples,
yeah,
right? Which,
yep,
for me, come October, I usually like to see those prices dropping, you know, down into the $1.99s and the, and you know, just below that $2 mark. And I've been very surprised to see that they've stayed up there for so long.
And that's the organic crop?
Yeah, this is organic apples.
Pound.
Yeah, $2.99 a pound. Yes,
that,
yeah.
You know, that's true, Mark. I think you might see kind of historically is some of the varieties that quote unquote don't store as well as others are. You're going to see that price decrease as the season, as we reach the end of the chronological year, as we go into November, December. And those varieties, regionally, they can differ, but they could be Jonna Golds, Galas, McIntosh, Honeycrisp. Now, many times, these apples are best eaten fresh rather than stored.
Sure,
so if
sure.
anything, I think you're going to see some good prices on those varieties.
And this is all weather, right? Whatever happened on the East Coast, a drought, mm-hmm, or a rainstorm, what was it? What?
Thank you for asking. Well, what it was there was an abnormally warm spring,
yes,
like a real early spring. It got a heat flash that started the trees going, okay, it's time to bring on blossom and start producing fruit. But after they got the blossoms, we had a cold snap, mm-hmm, which then killed the blossoms. So without blossoms, you don't have apples.
And so,
that's,
of course,
basically what happened.
If that affects the income of the local growers up there,
yep,
you know, go to the farmers market, of course, and support, yep, them anyway, and you know, buy whatever else they have in crops, or buy the apples that they do have, even, mm-hmm, if it's very limited production, just to support them. That's always hard being hit by weather, okay, to that degree.
Only, yeah. And, well, not only that, there's another dynamic too, and that is the labor issue. With immigration laws getting, mm-hmm, tightened and enforced, we're seeing less labor making themselves available for this kind of work, and the people that are going for that work, they're choosing where to go.
Sure.
And with, there are some regionally economic booms going on where construction is starting to gain some momentum, and they're really choosing between picking apples or working construction.
You know, well, and you know, Earl, one of the things that I'm hearing you say is that the apples are going to be bigger this year, larger in size, which means,
yes,
they end up costing you more. But that means that we could have higher prices on bagged apples. A lot of families who tend to rely on bagged apples, which is usually a smaller apple, may,
right,
be seeing a higher price there too, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, very true, Mark, where you might find a price of like $3.49 or something. You may see it go up to $3.99. I don't think you're going to see a huge expense, huge increase, because small apples, a lot of people just don't know what to do with them, and that's why they created that 3-pound bag.
Right.
So a little bit of increase, but, yeah, I don't think too much.
And then, Earl, there's one more thing happened just to kind of finish up this section isn't there like some pest problems down in Southern California that are,
yeah,
affecting some of the cold weather crops?
Yeah, there really is, and this is something that really came out of the blue, at least for our local guys. The bug is called a bagrada. Bagrada.
You say bagrada?
B-R-A-D-A.
Yeah.
And that was discovered. It's historical. It's all over the globe. But we didn't really see it domestically until 2008 in L.A. in that area.
And so, so quickly, what will it affect?
Gotcha. Well, it's going to affect what we call brassicas. It's going to be cold weather collards and kale and cauliflower and bok choy. But it's only active when it's warm. It's fairly easy to handle in terms of it's easy to kill, if you will, but they are prolific. So one of the strategies most people are using is they're putting in larger transplants because the bug likes very young plants, so put in larger transplants later in the year.
Mm-hmm. And we have enough local production throughout the country of winter crops still to compensate. Is that right?
Absolutely. And the winter crops, of course, are going to get less less damage because of the cooler weather.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Even though they do like the a cold weather crop. So cold weather crops are going to get damaged. And, for example, a couple months ago, when we had this kind of Indian summer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's fantastic. Thank you for that very much, Earl. Thank
the
you as always for being on here.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Earl.
Thanks,
thank
Earl.
You.
So for our listeners out there, just so you understand where it's going to affect is right now you might see some higher prices if any of your retailers are buying greens from Southern California, where if they're getting shipped from some of the larger growers, you might see your bok choy and kale and some of that stuff price going up, you know, during the end of October, beginning of November, because that's what have been affected by that Indian summer.
It's just so fascinating, literally the world of agriculture as told through the produce experts, you, Mark, and Earl. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that update every week. Yeah, and you're listening to An Organic Conversation, of course. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And with us still from Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, is Susie Middleton, the author of The Fresh and Green Table, who is sharing with us easy organic meals, a new spin on fast food in this week's episode. And we just heard before that wonderful produce update from you, Mark, and from Earl Herrick for Earl's Organic Produce, the top 10 pantry ingredients. And Sita, you wanted to take it from there into the world of technique.
Yeah, exactly. I know, Susie, you were saying earlier that, you know, being a chef and writing for, was it Fine Cooking?
Yeah,
exactly, that you're really technique-based. And that was something that I love about the Fresh and Green Table is at the start of every chapter, there's a section that's called How It Works, where you illuminate what the fast tips are that make things possible, like your own homemade sauces or grilled pizza, something that anybody can pull off. So I thought, let's dive into that and have you share with us some of your favorite tips that help people save time without sacrificing the quality.
How It Works. I love that. Can you expand that in the next iteration to marriage and to how to have pets.
That is my next book.
This is so
definitely
great.
How it all works.
And it cook, right.
No, this is really the underlying benefit here of a book like this is pulling away what you really learn from these recipes, because often recipes are variations. So I think to get a few dishes in your repertoire will speed things up for you. For example, in the egg chapter, the frittatas all have the same ratio of eggs to cream to vegetables. Once you, and cheese. Once you learn what that is, you can make any frittata you want just by doing the recipes.
Mm.
There's a lot of make and freeze ideas, really. If you really want to make homemade pizza, which we do a lot, Friday nights are pizza nights at home, I make the dough ahead of time, which is very easy. It's a food processor dough. I throw it in the freezer, and I just pull it out. Soups are another thing that you make in pretty big batches. There's a great farmer's market minestrone in here that's all vegetarian, and it freezes really well. So it's the kind of thing to make on a Saturday when you get home from the farmer's market. And then put some in the freezer.
Yeah, those are the preparation tips that make all the difference. I think, Helga,
so
when you
simple,
were saying at the beginning that when somebody says, good. And I did this 4 hours ago, that it really throws you off. But if you start thinking like a chef in that respect and you do some things 4 hours in advance or on a Saturday when you're sitting at home, then you've got the basis to make anything later.
And it seems so simple. It's almost embarrassing not to think about that for me. But to portion off portions of soup already in a container frozen that you can just heat up, and that's exactly two plates full or two bowls full, or it makes the world, it's amazing. You can cover 4 or 5 days by what you did the week before or 2 weeks prior,
because
it's already there, right?
Yeah,
you already
exactly.
cooked it.
That's actually one of my favorite tips for when I get back from traveling, right? If I'm out of town for a week and then I get home and there's nothing in the refrigerator and my options are either order in or take out or something like that, if I would have put aside a couple portions of soup in the freezer, then you just pull it out when you get back from your travels and you've got a fresh organic meal for dinner.
Yeah, that's the problem with the power of now, because I'm only thinking about now. What do I want to eat? Not, I might want to eat the other pizza slice next week.
So her next
thing in the fridge too, by roasting or sauteing vegetables, sometimes they keep longer. You know, we all get frustrated when we just throw fresh vegetables away.
Yes.
So do a little of that on Monday and you're still eating them on Wednesday. So
I love that.
Yeah. The power of not being here now.
We
want to hear about your comfort place, the kitchen really being your home. limited growing season. You touched on tomatoes, on freezing. We want to hear more about the ingredients that, you know, what are your favorite five recipes? So stay with us. That's Susie Middleton, who has a wonderful website as well. It's Six Burner Sue. SixBurnerSue.com. Susie Middleton, a chef, recipe developer, and food writer of two wonderful books, Fast, Fresh, and Green, and her new one, The Fresh and Green Table, who's joining us today from Massachusetts, from beautiful Martha's Vineyard. Stay with us, Sue. We'll be right back with more. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today, easy organic meals, a new spin on fast food.
So open up your morning light and say a little prayer for I. You know that if we are to stay alive and see the peace in every eye.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Are you a chef, have a catering business, or planning a party, or simply just love organic produce? If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, walk right in to Earl's Organic Produce. Anyone can buy directly from us at wholesale prices. You don't have to be a natural food store to enjoy the freshest and most delicious organic produce. We are located on the San Francisco Produce Market at 2101 Gerald Avenue. We look forward to seeing you.
Walk-in hours are Monday through Friday throughout the night from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Minimum purchase is one box or flat, cash or checks only. For more information, visit earlsorganic.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at BowmanCollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N College.org.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at urbanremedy.com. That's urbanremedy.com. The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today is easy organic meals, a new spin on fast food, with the expert on the topic, Susie Middleton, who's a chef, recipe developer, and wonderful food writer, with her brand new book, The Fresh and Green Table. And her website is sixburnersue.com. Before we dive back into the interview and hear about what ingredients make just the perfect base for a week of joy and culinary delight that is quick and easy. He is our very own. I'm not saying quick and easy. Our very own chef, Sita. Sita Rani Palomar with her holistic bite.
I thought you were going to go with our very own culinary delight. That would have been...
Either way, I got myself in a corner.
Oh, thank you, Helga. Well, so on the topic today of quick, easy, organic meals, I thought I would shed a little bit of light on cooking grains, because for me, those are among the easiest meals to put together. And they are a staple in macrobiotic cuisine, which is another really healthy diet that a lot of people adopt when they're in kind of a bolstering their immune system kind of moment. So cooking grains bring complex carbohydrates into any kind of dish that you want to eat, whether you're pairing it with vegetables or beans or sauces and salsa. And the simple thing about it is that they pretty much all follow the same ratio, which is two parts water to one part grain when you cook them. And you begin by rinsing them, and then you, depending on whether or not you want a fluffy texture or a creamy texture, you get that water boiling first, or you add the grain right at the beginning. But, you know, there are some very variations. When I cook quinoa, I use 1.5 parts water to 1 cup grain. But these are just kind of basic things to get you going, so you know that this is an easy thing you can prepare at any time. And as I said just a minute ago, depending on how you want that grain texture to be at the end, you can do it two ways. If you want something that's a little bit creamier, what you do is you put the grain and the water together and you bring them up to temperature together. You bring them to boil together. And what that does is it gives the grain starches an opportunity to get out into that water, leaving you with a really creamy product, the way that you would cook oatmeal, for example. If you want something really fluffy, on the other hand, you want to get the water boiling first before you add your grain. And then the hot water kind of seals off the grain and it prevents the starches from getting in the water. They stay in the grain, and at the end you can just take your fork and fluff everything. So that's why when you think about for breakfast porridges, most people use oats for oatmeal, but you can use anything. You can use rice and make a rice porridge. You can use quinoa or millet, and the technique is really starting it in that cold water. And I love making breakfast porridge with quinoa, because quinoa is one of the quickest cooking grains. Quinoa only takes about 15 minutes, whereas rice will take 45 minutes. And I love rice. And if I remember to do it, set the pot going, and then go work on something else, I always have rice in my refrigerator. But if it's a last minute idea and I need something to eat quick, quinoa will be done in 15 or 20 minutes. And as we're getting close to the Halloween season, I like to kind of throw out one of my favorite Halloween meals, which is cooking black quinoa and stuffing it in orange bell peppers. And then you have that color contrast that looks a little bit like a jack-o'-lantern. And bonus points if you carve the orange bell pepper into a jack-o'-lantern so you see the black quinoa peeking out from those holes. But, you know, that's how you make yourself a quick and easy meal. I will make sure to get online a chart that has all the different grains, how long they take to cook, and how much water ratio you need to make them. But that is your Holistic Bite.
And the Holistic Bite, as always, brought to you by Ecobella. There's a beautiful way you can protect the animals and the planet and look and feel great while doing it, ecobella.com. And that was a cooking tip. Sita, do you have a beauty tip of the week as well?
Oh, I do have a beauty tip of the week. It's, you know, fall, and people are thinking about what is kind of your fall look statement, and defined eyebrows is kind of what's in right now. So
yeah, Mark
is like, yeah, that's right. I've been paying attention to those magazines. So I'll have a tip on our online too about how you can do that with an eye pencil or a brow powder. And they've got really excellent colors that are versatile in Ecobella's vegan, gluten-free, preservative-free line.
Yes, it's a world of possibility here on Inorganic Conversation. And when it comes to clean and natural and organic skincare and intelligent cosmetic, check out Ecobella, a partner in the show. Wonderful, clean, no compromise products. Ecobella.com. You're listening to Inorganic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And with us still, Susie Middleton, who's joining us from beautiful Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, in this late fall show on and with her new book, The Fresh and Green Table, Quick, Healthy, Organic, Simple Meals. Susie, we were talking about techniques. We were talking about your top 10 tips of what a somewhat well-stocked pantry must entail, from onions to add some flavor and some scent to it, to, of course, olive oil. let's get into a couple of recipes. You know, we all have these default foods where if nothing is in the house, we go to sandwiches with almond butter, or in my case, you know, corn chips with guacamole. How can people expand their default meal, that one or two meals that, that everyone has if nothing's in the house that we eat, that you would say, try this. This is really easy, and if you do it a couple times, it will become second nature for you to revert to that.
I love that idea, and because my default meal is roasted vegetables. I keep talking about roasting, but I think it's just a great technique. And what I do to make it a meal is I turn them into a salad. So whatever greens I've got on hand, I have cool greens in a bowl, and I take roasted. I have a recipe in the book for roasted root fries, which is just thinly cut sweet potatoes, Yukon Gold potatoes, and parsnips. Throw them into a really hot oven. They cook in 20 minutes. Toss them with the greens and put a really nice vinaigrette on them, which I've made ahead. And that's dinner. And it's even good left over as a salad. So,
yeah, wonderful. And I do want to throw in, when I heard Sita's Holistic Bite on grains, if you put in wild rice overnight or even a couple nights and exchange the water once, you don't even need to cook it. It turns into an almost cooked product without any heat. And wild rice, just as teff, which in Germany is Hirse, is one of those grains that you can add coconut juice and some honey, and it's a breakfast, or you can add curry and olive oil, and it's a savory dish, or you can use it for stuffing. And so having a pot of, you know, some smart grains, I think, makes a whole meal too. Sita, what's your
tip? I have a whole chapter on grains because I just think they're fabulous. You yes. know, I'm a huge wheat berry nut, but they're not quite as fast cooking as quinoa is. Quinoa is great because it is fast.
Yes, it is really fast. I love your note about root vegetables. I'm kind of a parsnip fanatic. I can't get enough of that flavor. And something that I love to do that's a really quick meal is braising. You know, I do an apple, an onion, and parsnip braise where you saute them in olive oil, and then you get a little bit of brown color on them, and then add some vegetable stock and cover it, and then let it kind of simmer and stew in its own juices. And then you have this really simple but really warming and nutritious meal that doesn't take much time at all.
That's one of my favorite techniques. I just love that. I have a whole chapter on quick braising and fast, fresh, and green. It's fabulous for vegetables.
I love it.
So Mark is happy.
Well, being a produce guy, of course I'm happy.
Brussels sprouts, yum, yum.
Oh, so Susie, we're getting close to the end of the show, but I have to ask. Now, we live in California, and we have a lot of things year-round, and you live in Martha's Vineyard. And your growing season is definitely shorter than ours. So how do you keep your juices flowing, say, January 15th, somewhere around there, when if you go to the produce market, you know, a lot of things are looking the same, and they have already for a little while?
Well, we actually have a little bit longer season than you would think, and we keep greens alive actually through January. So we eat a lot of kale and a lot of arugula. So, but, you know, and then we also, you know, keep things we've grown in the fall. But I love that time of year for root vegetables and for anticipating the next season. I mean, as soon as it's, you know, it's going to be coming, I'm getting ready for it. So, but for cooking, I really do rely on a lot of winter greens and root vegetables, and there's fabulous different things you can do with them, so it works.
And all of that is in your wonderful, wonderful book, The Fresh and Green Table, the book that just came out. And your website is beyond impressive. That's Six Burner Sue.
Love the name.
As you would, as you would imagine, it's spelled as in Six
Burner Hog.
Yeah, sixburnersue.com, cooking fresh and eating green with Susie Middleton. Thank you for joining us today, Susie, for that little window into your world of vegetables and healthy meals that are quick and simple and easy. So fun. Great to have you today. Again, the book is The Fresh and Green Table. If you have not gotten the previous book, Fast, Fresh, and Green, we encourage you as our listeners to do that too. You really are a produce nut. We've come full circle. Great to have you.
Very nice to talk to some fellow vegetables.
We're all going to cook
and,
now.
And Susie, I want to know, can you send your address so that we can pop by for dinner?
Oh, anytime. We're going to have dinner in the greenhouse next week.
So. Oh, I love it. Nice.
I love it.
Oh,
thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That's
Susie
Middleton.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Again, that's recipe developer, chef, and food writer Susie Middleton. Her website is sixburnersue.com.
And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a proud production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producers Kristen Ponger, studio engineer Robert Costa, news services provided by Jen Lloyd, underwriting production, the ear, the one and only Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, visit iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
And please also follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/anorganicconversation for any and all recipes, news, links, the Yes on 37 campaign update, and of course Susie Middleton's recipes and top 10 list for how to stock a pantry well. We are your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Please take it slow. Take it easy on me. Shed some light. Shed some light.